there's no better messaging tool out there to communicate what we're doing and what expectations should be like for our customers, like our website. That is how we will communicate how we function to the customers.
Some of the big trends we were looking at that dealers were adding were things like chat to the website and video, doing some video appointments with customers.
Customers want to buy the way that they want to buy. And if they're more comfortable right now in their home and getting an in-store experience by us walking them through with our iPad and showing them those quality touch points, you just can't show in a still image.
Brian Scarf is a local appliance dealer in the DC, Baltimore area, perhaps better known in that area as the DMV, District, Maryland, Virginia, that is a nationwide member and one that we recently spoke with. That was Joe Oakes, the VP of sales for Brian Scarf. And he broke a little news to us on the podcast that, you know, the store, a couple things. One, the store's reopening. They're getting ready to fully reopen their doors and welcome walk-in customers and have in some parts. And then two, that they're getting set to, and by the time you listen to this, we'll have open a new store in Springfield, Virginia. So had a great conversation with him about, you know, clearly things are going well for Brian Scarf, and the appliance dealer is doing well, having managed their time through COVID and, adjusted their business quite a lot, actually, since initially shutting down in the middle of March, adding things like appointment retailing, some upgrades to their digital presence, but really learned a lot from Joe about, what Brian Scarf is doing, and even beyond just the digital enhancements, talking to them about their business model, which includes kitchen remodeling services, and they have a awesome team of designers and technicians who help, create those projects for their customers and see them through to the end. So learned a lot about, how they do their business and what's working for them, kind of where they're turning to in the future here, as well as, as they do get set to fully reopen their stores. So really great conversation, one that I think, has a lot of great messages within it, and certainly am excited to share with you guys. So appreciate Joe hopping on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and let's dive into this interview. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and right now, always love talking to members on the podcast, and right now we have a real fun one lined up for us today. We got Joe Oakes, the VP of Sales for Brian Scarf, based down there in the DMV, which for the uninitiated is the District, Maryland, and Virginia. So Joe, appreciate you taking time. I know busy schedule for you, running all over the place right now, but I appreciate you finding time and hopping in and talking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it, Rob.
Not a problem. So how is everything at Brian Scarf right now? Tell us a little bit about yourself and about the business and kind of what you guys have going on these days.
A little bit about me. I've been with Brian Scarf since 2002. I had like a full head of hair back then. I was like, oh,
jobs will do
so,
that.
Yeah, anybody that knows me knows I've got a pretty shiny head at this point. I'm very bald. But so it started back in 2002 and came from Montgomery Ward prior to that. And obviously that didn't end well. but chose to go the independent route versus big box, and incredibly thankful I did. It's a great business. Worked my way up through multiple positions, multiple stores inside of Brian Scarf. And really it's the leadership and the people that really make the difference. It's a fantastic business.
So tell me a little bit about the business itself. I know, like I said, the DMV is kind of where you guys are based, but what's the company look like as far as, stores and where you are and all that kind of stuff?
Well, we serve the greater DC Baltimore metro area. This Monday, we actually open up our 15th location in Springfield, Virginia. Like I said, just a local retailer. I guess the way to to kind of sum it up is we're like the Lexus dealer of appliances in our market. So, and there's a lot of people out there selling Toyotas. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Toyota. Good car. They're fine. It's a good vehicle and all, but that's not what our customers are buying. They're looking for a premium appliance and the services that go along with that. Whether you're talking about any of the premium brands, Gen Air, Monogram, Thermador, Subwoof, and then the services that go with that being custom installation, appliance repair, and kitchen remodeling. So awesome. We do the hard things pretty well.
Gotcha. And I know we talked about before the call that Springfield store, that old stomping grounds for this podcast, I literally live down the street, maybe like a 2-minute drive from where that location is going to be. So I know it's in a good spot, a very high traffic area right off. What is it? 395 is right there and 95 intersect, I think, right at that spot. So you picked a good area.
Yeah, we're pumped up. We love the Springfield area. We've been selling some product there for quite a while, but our stores aren't quite close enough to serve it well. And it's right off of Frontier Drive next to the Springfield Mall. It's a great spot. We're excited to be there.
That's awesome. You mentioned the kind of the other things. Obviously, appliance sales is the big thing for you guys, but you also do remodeling and custom install. So tell us a little bit about that and what that does, because I don't think a lot of, you think about membership, a lot of these guys are straight sales. Yes, they'll come and install and do installation services, but not full scale remodeling. So what has that been like for you guys to be involved in?
It's intricate, but it's also very logical for us. Like everybody has some type of adjacent category that they dip into, whether they're an independent selling electronics or selling mattresses or whatever. Pretty much every independent tries to diversify at some level. And with us, it's like there couldn't be a better fit for who we are than kitchen remodeling. And we have a good reputation in the market, and people know us to execute well. And when you look at the competitive landscape in remodeling, you go to one of the more high-end kitchen design firms, and they basically give you a set of plans. They sell you the cabinets and wish you luck as you try and find a plumber, an electrician, somebody to sell you the appliances. Then it's like, well, wait a minute, who's handling permitting? Like that's kind of important, right? So our customers, they don't want to play general contractor. They're busy. They want somebody to come in that's a professional to manage the process from start to finish. And that's us. We're a turnkey remodeler.
That's awesome. And so you guys, I mean, in-house for you guys, what does that look like as far as, do you have a full-blown remodeling team like that walks customers through step-by-step what this looks like and all that? So what's the process like for the customer that comes to you wanting remodel from start to finish?
It's an interesting process, and so what it starts with typically for one of our customers, see, we're more known for appliances and remodeling. So usually they'll come in looking for an appliance package. And as we investigate and figure out what they're doing, we educate them on our abilities for kitchen remodeling. And then from that point, once we kind of get a picture of overall what they're trying to achieve, we turn them over to a kitchen designer who handles everything other than the appliances.
Right.
So from the design and construction standpoint, everything from cabinetry, countertops, sinks, faucet, flooring, all of that, the designer handles that aspect of it and then ties in the appliance salesperson. So that way it's because there are obviously different skill sets between them. One's more
for sure.
Inside sales for appliances versus inside outside with the kitchen designers. It's just product knowledge. Our people are phenomenal. So it lets them really shine with that customer with the whole process.
Gotcha. No, that's awesome. And I know you mentioned it, having different skill sets is certainly a big part of it, but it is kind of seamless the way that plays. I know, in talking to a lot of you mentioned CE, the consumer electronics side, the guys that are, independent guys in that space, we typically find them, they're selling speakers and TVs and that kind of thing. It kind of plays well generally to have what would be, you know, home theater installation kind of be a part of their package and what they offer. So it's very similar in that regard, like you mentioned, that they go kind of hand in hand and makes a lot of sense. You keep the customer under one roof and, you know, you get to be that kind of turnkey solution for them rather than having them go a bunch of different places.
Absolutely. It's somewhat different, too, than those other categories because it's not as commoditized.
Right, right.
Like, you know, for example, you can't click your way through Amazon to redesign your kitchen and get Cambria countertops. It's like, it's just not an option. So it's there's a little bit of protection built in by having that as our add-on category.
Ah, that's pretty awesome. And, you know, I know right now we're talking during a time that a little different for most businesses. I think, you know, everyone at this point kind of knows about what coronavirus and COVID has done to, you know, the industry and kind of life in general right now. So in that regard, you know, how has things been for you guys? How have things been for you, you know, as a business at Bray & Scarf?
Interesting. It's been interesting.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's like we, you rewind the clock to the onset of the whole pandemic and state of emergency being announced in Maryland, whatever that was, the second week of March or so.
Right.
And it's at that point, we immediately pivoted to become essentially an e-tailer at that point. The stores were closed to the public. We operated from within the building to be able to answer the phone and give video presentations, things of that sort. But I mean, on the front end of it, we just basically shut it down and operated as an e-tailer.
Yeah. Well, so I know not to cut you there, but I know that, you know, essential businesses status was something that a lot of appliance guys, is that something that you had and you just opted to take the safer route, or was that where you guys ordered to close?
We were deemed and are deemed essential. Really what it came down to is making sure that we knew confidently that we could take care of the employees and the customers and operate in a safe manner. And just not knowing the whole situation, even early on, getting PPE was a mess for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, I'm outside of a Rockville store and I've got a truckload of PPE to deliver, but, we constantly transitioned and, all the way up until like right now. This today, actually, we're announcing that we're just completely wide open to the public. We've been working, stores have been open for quite a while, but we've been operating by appointment only.
Right.
Consumer behaviors essentially dictate how you should function, as long as you do it obviously under the premise of it being safe in general. Customers are now, I'd say 50% of our foot traffic's direct walk-in without an appointment being set. So, just constantly changing, going through it.
Yeah. And you mentioned the appointment only. I know that's something that you guys kind of transitioned to as states started reopening here within the last few weeks. That kind of shows, I think, of course, a constant theme that we see, and that's the ability for independents to adjust on the fly and change business models really seamlessly and effectively. But, what was it like transitioning to that and getting that message out to customers? And then, you know, to follow that up, what, did you have good response to the appointment only model?
We had a fantastic response to it. Customers, if you look at, Depot and Lowe's, right? If you look at that environment and what that looked like to shop there through the past several weeks, it's a madhouse, right? Yeah. Social distancing, forget it. There is at least this is my experience. There was no social distancing whatsoever inside of in the other essential businesses. And I think it was an opportunity to show contrast. We're not like them at all. So, yeah, we both can sell metal. But the reality is the environment that we can give our customers, the expertise, it lets us elevate the experience with them coming in. They can pull their vehicle up in our parking lot, get a great space, parking space, walk in at their appointment time, meet an industry professional, and get taken care of. So, I mean, you think about it, Lowe's, not to pick on them, but, with throttling of traffic at the front door, you end up with a situation where you're standing outside for 20 minutes in the rain, and you're just hoping that somebody inside is going to be able to help you.
Right.
And that's like incredible opportunity for contrast. So our customers received it well. Man, our customers are great. They've been incredibly loyal throughout this whole thing and patient, because it's obviously we're not operating like normal yet.
Right. Now, I want to get back to some of the other, you know, changes that I know you guys made, but along the lines, you know, kind of neat to have some breaking news on the Independent Thinking Podcast. But the reopening now, what, as you prepare, as you have prepared for that transition to, you know, being fully reopened, you know, what are some of the things that you guys kind of look to or bullet points you tried to check off to make sure that, okay, now's the time that it's okay for us to do this?
Number one is safety, without a doubt. If we couldn't do any, if we couldn't open safely, we just wouldn't open. I mean, safety trumps everything in this respect. And really, we've got to keep the pulse of where the consumer is. The states have been progressing through the reopening phases, and just understanding what, I mean, we look back to the early onset and what was socially appropriate. Like, we were requiring masks and gloves, and, you know, it's like we had this thing tightened down pretty hard, and it was a very different environment. The customers appreciated it, especially, I mean, if you have, and some stores, you know, obviously there's a lot of diversity of age groups and people that are at risk, and they see us providing gloves and masks at one particular point. They really received it well. We fast forward that to today, and if we told them that they had to wear gloves, they'd think that we're crazy. Like, well, why? Right. So it's, you look at what's socially appropriate and just trying to keep the pulse and move through the phases as to how our customers want to shop. And as long as we can do that safely, that's really the thing that's guiding our process.
Gotcha. And I know, you know, kind of going back to those earlier days, and what you have to do to kind of remain in the public's eye, but also accessible to them. You kind of look to what you guys have done from a digital perspective. I know there was, you know, a lot of work going on behind the scenes with the Site on Time team here. And, you know, I could talk to any members who, I'm sure Site on Time team had to add like 17 phone lines, I think, to their office to handle all of the calls and traffic. But, you know, take us through that and kind of what you guys did from a digital perspective to get yourselves, you know, prepared early on to handle this, the change in business.
Man, I tell you, we love Site on Time. I'm surprised I haven't worn him out yet. Jen still like talks to me. So, I mean, she's a rock star. she is absolutely awesome. And the whole team, I mean, their whole team gets credit. They've really done a great job working with us, and there's no better messaging tool out there to communicate what we're doing and what expectations should be like for our customers, like our website. Our website tells, obviously that is how we will communicate how we function to the customers before they walk into the doors, obviously. And we've everything from figuring out the appointment process. So, I mean, early on, one of the earliest calls I had with Jen Danko regarding this was, like, I don't have any idea what I'm doing, so I know what I want to do. Can you help me? And I mean, it was just unbelievably efficient. Like, I gave her a couple options. She came back with something that was on point, that could be programmed easily with the website. And just, it blew me away how fast they were able to work in these changes. And, you know, creation of new web pages, like I said, the appointment process, all the way through to being able to communicate delivery dates, anticipated delivery dates for product on the website. It's been very impressive what they've been able to do.
That's awesome. Now, things like, I know some of the big trends we were looking at that dealers were adding were things like chat to the website. And I think you mentioned earlier too, video, doing some video appointments with customers. You know, what was it like adding those? Were those some of the things you added to your digital sort of tool belt And then what was it like kind of getting those up and running?
We were blessed to be in the position that most of the tools already existed whenever we came into this. So chat and texting, for example, we've been doing that for a few years now, and have actually a pretty robust team in all the stores. So we execute it from the store level. It's not a main office function or anything like that. So it's the same people in the stores that they would work with as on behalf of the sales team. They are the web team. So we were in a really good position out in front of this. Video chat was not a current function. We use Podium for our web chat, and video chat didn't exist. I remember getting a call from a few of their folks there that basically they said on a Wednesday that they're like, well, we think we're going to launch it, and by Friday they called and said we launched it. So they like programmed the thing in 2 days. They threw it together and they're like, do you want to be part of the beta? I'm like, well, yeah, we've been, we're here, let's go. So, that's been interesting. It's been well received. It's not I wouldn't label it as a massive game changer, but it's just like everything else. Like customers want to buy the way that they want to buy. And if they're more comfortable right now in their home, and getting an in-store experience by us walking them through with our iPad and showing them those quality touch points, you know, whether it's ball bearing rollers on the racks of a dishwasher or soft closed doors. Like there's 1,000 luxury touch points that you just can't show in a still image. So video chat, it's helped. It's definitely helped though. It's a good feature.
That's awesome. So what, now, kind of looking ahead, you know, there's obviously some challenges I think that remain. You know, we're noticing it in our back to business, you know, plan as we're kind of working through that. You know, what are you guys looking at? Obviously, preparing to reopen, you're moving to a new phase. So, kind of moving ahead, what are some of the things that you're focused on as a business that, you know, you're trying to anticipate or plan for? You know, that maybe you didn't think you had to, or that, you know, you're just trying to stay sort of in a position to remain successful as you transition into this next phase?
I would say the biggest focus, and this may not be quite what you're looking for answer-wise, but really the biggest thing right now is just getting product.
Yeah.
The structure's there, the people are there, the processes are there. We're executing well. All in all through this environment, we just have to get product. So that is absolutely the biggest challenge is, you know, as factories have shut down, man, the manufacturers, they all have different struggles trying to churn out product, but, just getting our hands on what our customer wants.
That's absolutely something, you know, we've heard, you know, either, whether it be from other dealers or, you know, manufacturers too, because early on, I think, you know, there was talk about kind of preparing dealers from a product standpoint because factories were going to have to shut down and manufacturers, you know, because of social distancing and things like that were completely shut down or, you know, production sort of took a downturn because there were less people working in factories and whatnot. So, you know, what are you guys doing from that standpoint? Is it really just looking for what's available, or is there any sort of, I guess, strategic, you know, advice you could offer to other dealers that are certainly, especially in the appliance space, I think, you know, facing something like this that you guys are?
No advice.
Yeah.
How about that answer, right? I tell you, it's like what we're doing is we're working with our vendor reps very closely, trying to forecast out as well as we can in advance, get truckload orders placed and have a pipeline of product. But I mean, at that point, really, you're rolling the dice and hoping you get product sometime soon. I mean, we're asking our customers to be patient with us as we get product. I mean, it's kind of the same with the manufacturers. They're struggling at this point. And really, the only piece of advice is we just got to keep an eye on it, communicate, and get in line, right? Get what you can get when you can get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like something, you know, that's certainly going to be a challenge until production can kind of catch back up to where it was. But no, totally can appreciate that. Last question to kind of, you know, round it up for you. I know, you know, trying to think about from your perspective, has there ever been anything that, you know, most recent that comes to mind is, you know, the 07 to 09 kind of downturn in the economy and the housing bubble and all that stuff. But I know it's tough to kind of compare this to anything else, but this, you know, we're looking, I think we're talking now, it's been 11, 12 weeks almost of just a complete sort of shift in the way business is done. Have you ever experienced anything like this? You know, maybe not from a pandemic standpoint necessarily, but just this like sustained period of disruption to what would be your normal business?
The short answer is no. Man, there's a lot of depth to that question.
Yeah.
So I'll say it this way. So I'm not sure that there's a better catalyst for change than a sustained period of disruption, right? Like that causes people to pause. If it's really a short-term pop, it's like, back to business as usual. That's not what this is. Like you said, it's a sustained period of disruption, and it causes a lot of shifting to happen. So I think if I look at that in a retail context, the businesses that were better positioned, whether it be through people or processes or what have you, it's a huge opportunity for us to capture share, right? It's a great opportunity for us to communicate that we're different. We're not like the box stores. We have a better story to tell. Shop local, right? So you look at what we can communicate now as a result of that period of disruption. It's an opportunity staring us in the face. So when I look at it from a retail, if I answer that question specifically from a retailer standpoint, that would be my answer. But taking that question in kind of a different direction, socially, mm-hmm. we've also had a very large sustained period of disruption. And hopefully that also causes change. Like racism has got to exit this country. Like you look at what's happened with George Floyd, or here locally, Freddie Gray.
I believe
that was 2015.
Yep. I think
it was
in the area for that. Yep.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. So while we look at what all is going on, and we've had protests here locally, voices need to be heard. It's time for change. So
that's awesome. And, you know, I think a great kind of message to end on, you know, so it's a period to stop and pause and, you know, take a chance to turn kind of, you know, the eye inward and reflect on, you know, your business, yourself and all that kind of stuff and use it as a time to, you know, if there's ever a time to change, it's when, you know, business is stopped and life is kind of not happening as it were normally. So, you know, appreciate the message there, Joe. And, you know, of course, appreciate all the time, you know, you spent with us diving into Brain Scarf and everything else. So, you know, good luck and congrats, I guess, on the store opening next week as we're talking. So
thank you.
I wish I was there still in Springfield to experience it. Maybe I'll pop down there, visit the old stomping grounds and see what it's like over there at the new Brain Scarf. But no, you know, I really appreciate it and, you know, wish you guys nothing but continued success moving forward. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to catch up sometime soon in person.
Excellent. I look forward to it. Yeah, if you're ever in the area, feel free to give me a shout.
Awesome. All right, and thanks again to Joe Oakes of Bray and Scarf for spending some time, you know, in between a couple of appointments and visiting his stores to chat with us about what Brain Scarf has going on and, you know, what they've been doing to get through this pandemic and also as they prepare to reopen. So great conversation. Love, you know, like always sharing those stories of dealers, our members, and what they're doing. So, you know, appreciate him sharing. Appreciate you listening. And we will catch you on the next Independent Thinking Podcast.